Today's lesson is from the Gospel of John, chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. It takes place in Jerusalem on a night during the Passover feast. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. No one could perform the signs you're doing if God were not with him." And Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." "How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." And Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "But how can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and do you not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and we testify to what we have seen, but still, you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believed may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, everyone have their timers out. It doesn't start at the scripture reading, it starts right now, right? My friends, we can't really ridicule Nicodemus. I think it would be, at the very least, a dishonest thing to do. I remember that I grew up in a world where one could be sure, one could be certain of one's salvation. I can vividly recall sermons at my friends' churches. I was a Catholic, so I was always going to the Methodist and Baptist churches because that's where all the kids were. But I can vividly remember some of the sermons. They would go something like this: "Do you know that you can be sure, that you can be certain right now that if you died, you can go to heaven?" And it would usually follow with, "Just say these words. Come down the altar," right? Accept. I think the wording was always accept Jesus in your heart. I'm not poking fun at that. I wanted that certainty. I wanted that certainty. Now, I knew I'd been baptized as an infant, right? At the Catholic Church, they do that basically 3 weeks after you are born, for the most part. And they do it with a bunch of babies. And I remember it because my parents would tell me stories about it. They like to tell one story specifically. They would say, "Matt, we packed so many bottles of milk for that service," right? I think they meant to keep me in sort of a comatose so that they could get through the actual ritual of baptism. But according to my family history, I finished every single one of the bottles before we even got to the baptism, which caused great anxiety for my parents, which, believe it or not, continues to this day. And for those of you who have had the pleasure of snacking with me, you know that if snacks are in front of me, I'm going to eat them. And rarely does eating them ever actually calm me down, make me less chattery, or make me a more docile person, right? Usually just, well, by God's grace, I got through the baptism. In second grade, I received my first Holy Communion in the Catholic Church, and then I was even confirmed at the beginning of high school. So by God's grace, I became a full-fledged Christian. And I remember attending an FCA, Fellowship of Christian Athletes Youth Camp, later in high school. And I found myself, once again, feeling pressured by a preacher's altar call. It went on so long that I began to suspect that they were just waiting for me to go down the aisle. So I decided, I'm going to do this, right? I think I also thought, just in case. You know, you never know. I was after a degree of certainty, once again. And still, by God's grace, I did not trip as I went down the aisle, and I got back to my seat safely. And much to my surprise, the altar call did end soon after that. So reflecting on these moments of my life, I can see how the desire and pressure to feel certainty about our spiritual journey plays out. And I've often wondered what good certainty does. What good certainty does in our lives. See, in our scripture reading today, Jesus describes a kingdom that is closer to us than any certainty we can attain. In some ways, certainty has only given me bouts of mild indifference. I'll tell you how. When I'm certain about the decisions that this church should make, right, I almost feel a disconnect between what I know to be true and how I know I should love in those moments. When I am certain about the love that those who love me share with me, I tend to take it for granted. Not all the time. Sometimes. Am I alone in that? So, I've been baptized. I've been confirmed. I've been prayed for, prayed with, pressured into altar calls. And now, as an adult, I'm ordained as a clergy person in the United Methodist Church. My own parents are self-proclaimed born-again Christians. And even now, I can still feel the pressure to feel some certainty about Jesus' words, "You must be born again." I want that certainty. Do y'all want that certainty? Doesn't it feel elusive, though? Just out of reach? John 3:16 is comforting. You know it well. Y'all want to say it with me? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life." Now, this verse, I think, can be the essence of the gospel, or it can be a type of litmus test. We either emphasize God's agency, right? That God so loved the world, that God gave something that only God could give, or we emphasize our agency, how hard and what we can do to believe. In other words, I think this verse can either be a promise or it can be a vehicle for certainty. If a promise, then a life of faith never has to look one way or another. But if it's the latter, I think it raises an anxiety-inducing question. How can I be certain I am in the everyone who believes in Jesus crowd? How can I be certain? Now, the question that we raise here seems to be the subtext of our scripture reading today. Nicodemus, we know Nicodemus, the teacher of Israel, goes under the cover of darkness to Jesus at night, led to believe sometime late, maybe in the early morning hours. And we all know that feeling, right? We're tossing, we're turning, we can't sleep, our minds and hearts do not let us rest. And surprisingly, Nicodemus concedes that Jesus must be from God, which is why we can't ridicule Nicodemus. Because at the heart of this encounter is a person deeply distressed by their own understanding and place in God's presence. In other words, Nicodemus is also seeking certainty, or some degree of it. How can I be sure? I am in the everyone who believes crowd. So if Nicodemus wanted a checklist that would ensure certainty, what he receives, if we're honest about Jesus' words, is a description of everything outside of his control. Birth, the movements of the Spirit, etc. After all, do we get to choose how we are born? Do we get to choose who we are born to? Do we get to choose when we are? I know you laugh at who we are born to. Some of us want to choose who we are born to, right? Do we get to choose when we are born? No, that's not for us. We are thrust into a world that we did not create, did not choose, and cannot save. That is what we see when we finally get to open our eyes. In that birth, one can feel a little fatalistic, a little resigned, possibly a little hopeless. And this is precisely the point of connection that Jesus names when he says, very truly, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. So Jesus suggests that there may be a connection, mechanically speaking, between our biological births and our spiritual one. Spiritually, we are born, and then we open our eyes. And when we open our eyes from a spiritual birth, we see that it's not exactly we who are changing, but the world. Yes, we see brokenness. Maybe that seems a lot more real to us right now with the recent events going on in the Middle East. The reality of war is upon us. And whether we like it or not, it will affect tons and tons of people in adverse ways. So it seems that evil powers, we see that evil powers tend to have their day. But it also may be helpful for us to remember that in Jesus' time, when they opened their eyes to a spiritual birth, they also saw darkness. Palestine was a world of competing empires. The Roman cross cast a long shadow of fear and oppression. That is the world that Jesus inhabited. Death and cruelty were everywhere. Broken communities beset by their own law enforcement, taxed unfairly by their own people. But even in that world, Jesus walks in the light of God's presence. The Spirit moves freely. The presence of God moves without obligation, seemingly from village to village, healing to healing. It is like little bits of the kingdom are dropping into a sea of darkness. But they shine. They shine like stars that we see when we look up at the night sky. And those glimmers are still changing the world now. We open our eyes and we see that darkness is not all that there is. That is the promise. That's the promise. But it doesn't mean that heartache will never happen again, that disease and sickness will not have their way, that evil powers and selfish desires will never cause poverty, destitution, and implosion ever again. You see, belief is not about reaching a state of certainty in the world around us or in ourselves. Belief is about seeing the work of God changing our world right now. Trusting that even amid all the darkness, a Christian can still hope for and take part in the redemption of the world. We can't forget verse 17, right? For God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Which is how we open our eyes to see hope in hopeless places. How a Samaritan can offer aid in a most violent setting. How a Mother Teresa can offer love and kindness to a forgotten people and place. How a group of ragtag Buddhites, right, can get their stuff together just long enough to do the work of feeding people all over the community week in and week out. How my wife and children can, after being traumatized by their husband and dad accidentally hitting a deer, can hug me, call me a dope, and love me anyway. See, redemption staves off condemnation when compassion mends brokenness. Redemption staves off condemnation when generosity defines real strength. Redemption staves off condemnation when forgiveness extends itself through small acts of mercy. And the only certainty that Jesus offers us is that promise. That promise that there are good powers in this world too. And they will. They will absolutely, if we let them, move us. At first, maybe just with an inkling of hope, but then move us to participate in the redemption that God is doing in our world right now, all around us. And in that case, certainty is sort of insufficient. There's nothing we can actually do. But we circle back to Nicodemus. A life of faith, if we choose it, will have restless nights, as it did for Nicodemus. But it may be for us as it was for Nicodemus. May we learn, may we lean into the discomfort that the life of faith will show us. May we rise in the dark of night to ask honest questions. Those questions that plague us, may we feel comfortable asking one another those questions. May we see God's presence less like an accolade, something we do to achieve, and more like someone who is walking alongside us, who is journeying in the dark with us. So may we open our eyes to the small acts of redemption all around. May we choose compassion over judgment. May our belief never stagnate in resignation or triumph. May we come to see that God's faithfulness is a better assurance than our certainty. The kingdom of God is changing the world now, my friends, and there are good powers in this world too. And they call us each and every day. So may we see that the kingdom is closer than our own certainty.